What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. Hi, my lovelies. Thanks for joining me today. Today's case is going to make all of us ladies feel a little bit on the uncomfortable side. Whenever I cover a case involving a female child predator, it just goes against the grain. We absolutely know that females are predators towards children, as well as males, but at a much lower rate. So whenever you hear about one of these cases, it just sticks in your throat and gets you in the gut a little more than when male cases come up. We are equally as horrified, but it just goes against what we expect women to be like. And of course, guys, I'm not suggesting that you're out there being sexual predators. I'm simply saying statistically, when we look at male predators versus female, statistically, males hit higher. And the other thing that we should be expected to believe in our society is that when you choose a school for your child, you send them there believing they're going to be educated, they're going to be safe, they're going to be protected. And yet, more often than not these days, we are hearing cases, many of which I've covered on this channel, where you send children to school into the arms of sexual predators. And Alyssa McCommon is absolutely one of those predators. And again, it just breaches every boundary and every trust that you have in a system that you genuinely believe should be there for your children. Yes, we expect to send our kids to school and for them at times to struggle, maybe academically, maybe they're bullied, maybe they are the bully, and as a parent you go in and sort those things out. But the idea that you're sending them to a class ran by a female or male paedophile is truly harrowing. It's horrific. And today's case is absolutely going to example that. Let's go back to 8th of September 2023. This is when Alyssa McCommon, who's 38 at the time, is literally arrested at her home in Covington in Tennessee. Now, when this happens, you literally have her absolutely stunned husband just looking on as she is handcuffed and escorted to jail by the police. You can't compute as a human being how that would feel unless you've been through it. You're living with a partner. You love that partner. You've got children with that partner. And you see that they're a teacher and you believe in their very best. And then all of a sudden, knock at the door, they're being strong-armed down to the police station for the most horrific charges. Processing that reality is inconceivably difficult for anyone. Now, McCommon had been a fourth grade teacher at Charger Academy. That was an elementary school in Covington in Tennessee. She's an academic. She actually taught English and language at the school. She did get suspended a little bit earlier than her rest date. So this happened on August the 24th, and she was actually suspended without pay. Now, schools always have an option to suspend you with pay. When they suspend you without pay, it's because there's a strong possibility you ain't coming back. Now, it doesn't surprise me to find out that not long after she was suspended, she actually resigned. And it's that old story, do you want to jump before you get pushed? And I think it's also really an unconscious admission of guilt. Because if you know that you've done something heinous to children, if you know that it's going to come out in the wash, then the reality is you're never getting back in a classroom. Actually, you're probably never going to get close to kids anymore because you're going to be considered a sex offender for the rest of your natural life. So for her, there's ultimately very little reason to cling on, to go through a full investigation in the school district to end up with the same result. Now, Tiptum County Director of School, a guy called John Combs, said a parent brought forth allegations of misconduct on the morning of Thursday, August the 24th, and the teacher was suspended without pay later that same morning, pending the outcome of the investigation. Now, I've done a few cases on this channel where schools have genuinely acted in a reprehensible manner. They've been given information that evidences children have been being abused, and they have hidden it, they have denied it, they have rejected it, they've kept it quiet, and only acknowledged it once it's come out that they have no other choice to do. So it's great that this district decided that they were going to kick her out immediately. So let's talk about McCommon. She's 38 and she'd been a teacher at a few different schools. She's very petite. She's 5'3" tall. She actually lived with her husband, Chad. He's meant to be a businessman and an investor. So I guess we can say a relatively busy human being. I've never met an investor and a businessman who isn't working a great deal of the time. Also, they had two daughters. One was age 13.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
And one was age 8 at the time of her arrest. Now, before I move on from this bit, obviously today we are going to be dedicating this video to talking about McCommon and what a predator she is, and also having a complete sympathy and empathy for the victims. But it is worth noting that her daughters are victims too. When you have a mother, she's a role model, she's a mentor if you have a good relationship, and you see her in a particular way. You don't know what's going on in the background. You don't know whether she's a monster elsewhere. If she's good to you, you love her. Imagine those children's worlds just absolutely crumbling, falling apart. Not because they've done anything wrong, but because their mother is a child predator of which they were not aware. Or at least we hope they were not aware, because it would be horrific to imagine that anything had happened to them. Suddenly, she's being marched away by the police. The community is on fire talking about what she's done. They are going to get collateral damage. It goes without saying, I have literally seen this play out time and time again, where a family who are victims too and are not guilty in any of the offences literally get run out of town because people can't believe they didn't know something. The truth is, people don't know. We trust the people that we love, and it's only when that trust is finally broken are we able to come to terms with the person is not the individual that we believed they were. And for these two kids, to lose a mother at such a significant and symbolic age is inconceivably difficult. And the same for her husband, who's clearly baffled and blindsided by the woman he's been sharing a bed with. Now, this arrest did really have a big impact on her family life because of the legal troubles. Both McCommon and her husband, Chad, had a lot of challenges because basically their public and private lives became public knowledge, and that means that everybody was looking in and everyone was judging and having their own opinion. It's understandable, of course it is, because we want to know what happened, but equally it's very challenging for the innocent parties in this situation. Now, on social media there's a lot of activity, and when you look at hers, I'll be honest with you, she comes across as a devoted mother who seems to really, really covet and cherish and adore her family. And she likes to commemorate any of the family moments, such as first day at school, etc., Christmases. So she's living online a life of this pure mother-like status. And that probably existed. It's not as if she wasn't those things as well as a child predator. She certainly seems to have been invested in her children. But again, that just adds insult to injury when you think where she's going to end up. Now, McCormon is the daughter of Brian Wessel, who's actually died, and Angela Wessel. She also had two siblings. She's got a sister named Ariel Wessel Fuss and a brother named Ben Wessel. Now, aside from living in Covington, she had also lived in other parts of Tennessee, including Burlington. She previously taught fifth grade at Crestview Elementary School, and that was until May 2023. And then on August 8th, 2023, she started working at Charger Academy as a fourth grade English and language arts teacher. Now, while she was employed by the Tipton County Schools as a teacher, one of the things that she did very quickly and consistently was she would befriend underage boys. And the way that she would manage to do this would be by playing video games with them and engaging with them through social media. And I've seen this play out in other situations with teachers who abuse. So finding them in their territory. And bear in mind, when you're playing games online, your world is open. It's one of the reasons why we tell parents to think about parental controls, because you have no idea what kind of a predator is out there trying to find a way in to the mindset and psyche of your child. But if you're online playing a game and then a teacher that you trust, that's got power, that you spend time with, they engage with you, you're not likely thinking this person has got sexual undertones towards me. That's just not the way a young person's brain is going to work. But that's how she connects with them. So part of the accusations are that when she was doing this, she then led on to sending inappropriate photographs and literally requesting relationships with these very young boys. We're talking 12 years of age. I mean, they are really young. Now, on September the 6th, 2023, the Covington Police Department actually announced that the investigation into her was all about inappropriate conduct with minors. Now, on September the 8th, 2023, she gets arrested by Covington Police Department and booked into the Tipton County Jail in Covington. And she's actually charged at this point with rape. And she's then actually released from custody because they post bond of $25,000. I think it's pretty low to have a $25,000 bond. I'm going to assume that the judge believed that because she was probably going to be returning to her home address and people were checking on her so that she wasn't going to be some kind of flight risk, and because she wasn't likely a violent offender that they couldn't trust to be on the streets, that's why they decided to give her that opportunity. But personally, how does that feel for the victim to know that their abuser has been able to walk free? Now, the CPD said that after multiple juvenile victims said that they became friends with her because she's on there playing video games and interacting on social media, it kind of led to lots of them just kind of normalizing the experience. But when the police put out that these inappropriate things have been happening, indeed she's in trouble, wow, people start coming forward. And these victims are saying really inappropriate stuff happened between us. In fact, each victim told the officers that what would happen was the relationship would begin with McCormon just wanting to play video games with them, talk to them on social media, gain their trust, get to know them a little bit, test them out, and then she'd send them explicit content. Now, this is what groomers do. If there was a textbook of grooming, what I've just described is the common textbook beginning. So most child molesters, they're not the people hanging out on street corners, trying to lure kids in, not like child catchers. They're the people that we trust and know and care for. They're people we invite into our homes, and they are the masters of being a chameleon. At the end of the day, they are really nice, and they get to know your kids that way. They're super interested. They're super positive. They're super praising. Sometimes they give them lots of gifts, and it confuses a child. Because who doesn't want that in your life? Who doesn't want somebody who genuinely seems to care desperately for me? Every kid is looking for that. Children at school are already going through all those complex emotions. Am I going to fail? Am I going to succeed? Am I popular with my peers? Will I have a relationship? What's sex about? All these things are going through the young mind of those who are prepubescent and early onset adolescence and over. The truth is, that is a constant sense of tinnitus in their ears. Those questions are rolling through their minds. And when you have this adult seemingly really devoted to them, Obviously, it makes these kids feel visible and special and maybe a little bit more taken seriously and older and understood in a different way. That's what predators do. They use that same strategy for every kid because they know the impact it has. And then by the time you start sending that grotesque, sexually explicit content, the kid is so confused. They think you're close to each.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
They believe that there's some kind of trust there. So instead of running and immediately telling somebody, I need help, this predator's after me, lots of people remain silent. So she's sending these inappropriate photographs. She's requesting sexual relationships with the actual victims. And then, in part of the charges, she's accused of having a sexual encounter with a boy aged 12 years or younger at her home. In 2021, she brought him home. She's got children in that house. She's got a husband in that house. And she's bringing a child home to molest them. That boy was apparently staying overnight. And he literally woke up to her performing oral sex on him without his consent. I do not know where to begin with dissecting such a monstrous act. Just think about that for a minute. You look at this woman and you think, how? How can this petite woman have such malicious intent? But that's the key. Predators come in all shapes and sizes and genders. Now, according to the Covington Police Chief, Donna Turner, she said, Covington Police Department detectives continue to investigate this terrible exploitation and abuse of these young boys. We expect to also develop the investigation to determine accountability of other adults in the case, including those who were aware of the abuse and those who were allowed or provided locations for such illegal acts to occur. She also went on to say that she'd spoken with the US Attorney's Office and intended to pursue any appropriate federal charges related to the sexual exploitation of these victims, utilising cell phones, inappropriate relationships and activities across jurisdictional state lines. So essentially, that sounds bigger than the case that we're just talking about today. But then we all know about paedophile networks. We all know that they run deep, they run wide. So it could be that they feel that there are other adults involved in this. Now, that same individual, Turner, concluded her remarks by saying, we will prosecute this case to the fullest and will continue to support the victims and their families during all aspects of the investigation. The authorities also said that there was actually no evidence that any of the alleged activities occurred on any school campus. So essentially letting the schools know that they are not in the frame at this moment in time where guilt is concerned. And this means that she was obviously clever enough to manipulate opportunities for the children to be around her places alternative to the school campus itself. Now, the CPD, they said that during the investigation, McCormick did actually admit to communicating inappropriately with former students. And Turner, the Covington police chief, actually said, it is unbearable. It is unspeakable. It is 100% preventable. I think that's why the detectives and we are so passionate about making sure victims are okay. McCormick's attorneys, well, they were quoted slightly differently. They said, she's innocent. That they maintained her innocence. I don't quite know where the defence is going with this, but let's just listen to what they had to say. They said, we believe that it's borderline a witch hunt on social media, and that's frustrating to us. Yeah, I bet it is. I bet it's frustrating that the person who's guilty of doing the most heinous things to children is literally advertised all over social media and people are talking about it. It's frustrating because, as you know, it spreads like wildfire. And I get it. People could say, well, that means that she might not get a fair trial. Arguably, does she deserve a fair trial? Probably not. But they are basically saying this is just going crazy online and it's not helpful. And the defense attorney, Jer Mason, said, What we're asking is that the public be patient and allow the justice system to do its job and not create further persecution on the alleged victims or on the family of the defendant. Now, of course, we all agree, no one wants the victims to be further traumatised and no one wants the family of the defendant to be further traumatised. But you know what? If you do the crime, you've got no power over the people it impacts. She was selfish and egocentric enough and sexually driven enough and deviant enough to not think about her children, to not think about her husband, to not think about the victim. She didn't care. She cared about her sexual needs and impulses. She cared about abusing kids. And unfortunately, the collateral damage of that is that we can't stand such injustice. And therefore, we talk about it. We talk about it everywhere and anywhere, from having a coffee with our friends, to listening to the news, to going online and reading about it, and even joining in, because we find it abhorrent. And unfortunately, the casualties often are people who have been affected by the case. But you can't stop it. The only way you stop it is by the predator seeking help and knowing that there is something broken within them and failing to act on those impulses. That's the only way these things can be prevented. Now, the Tipton County Sheriff's Office, they confirmed that it was working with the Covington Police Department on the case because they were really working together to gather as much evidence as possible. They said, remember, although we work for the public and our citizens, our victims are our priority. The Sheriff's Office went on to say, I assure you, we are being thorough with the investigation and the process at hand. Now, on September the 28th, 2023, McCommon is arrested again. And this time, this woman, who seems to have, shall we say, no boundaries. Do you have any boundaries? I have no boundaries. What's a boundary? I don't know. I don't have any of them. No boundaries whatsoever. She gets arrested again. She's charged with coercion of a witness, aggravated stalking, and harassment. Now, this tells you a very clear message and story. She is somebody who believes that she is above the law. She is so driven by her instinct and sexual depravity that it really doesn't matter that what she is doing is further adding to the pain of her family and to the pain of the victims. All she cares about is her needs. She's completely egocentric. So she literally speaks to the victims, which she's not allowed to do, harasses them, and then understandably, she has a bail revoked. She's brought back in. She's booked into the Tipton County Jail without bond because clearly she's not safe to be walking the streets. Also, at this point, it's worth noting that McCommon's family were experiencing some ridicule because she has actually been accused of raping a minor. And according to her attorney, who said this, she's a human. Some of us would debate that. I'm just going to throw it out there. You know, you can start with she's a human, but the way she's acted is completely inhumane. But we'll tell you what they said. She's a human and she has a family too, which she didn't think of, guys, which she did not think of, but okay. And there are victims, arguably, on both sides of the case. Yes, that she created. There are victims on both sides of the case. And guess who's in the middle causing all the pain and problems? She is. They went on to say, regardless of her guilt or innocence, we need to think about these things. Well, we all have. And the truth is, she's guilty. She deserves what's coming. And if she hadn't done it, these problems that her family and the victims are facing wouldn't be being faced. Her defence lawyer also said she's got two minor children herself. They've had to pull them out of school and they're experiencing some ridicule. Yes, again, because McCommon caused this pain. And also, how horrific that she actually has minor children, the very age group that she's attracted to. I tell you what's good. It's good that she's been pulled out of their lives permanently. It's as simple as that. Also, her defence lawyer, Mason, added that he knows McCommon's husband very well. Apparently, they work together as sheriff's deputies together. Now, I don't think that matters. You know, I know him very well. So it's not really as bad as you think. Is that what's being said here? Or I know him very well because I know him and you know me. Be nicer. It just doesn't work like that. Now, McCommon allegedly admitted that she did communicate inappropriately with former students. She said, yes, I did that through online video games and social media apps. I did send inappropriate photographs. I did request sexual relationships with the victims. That's at least what the police department was saying. Now, this particular defense lawyer went on to add this. My perception has always been that they were good folks. And so regardless of their guilt or innocence, any person in this situation would be under extreme mental.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
Stress, and I just have to defend her properly. I have to know that my client is understanding everything and in the right mind of everything. Well, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. You just need to explain to her that she's a great big child molester. Yeah, she's not a good folk. She is a child molester. Husband might be okay, you work with at the sheriff's department. Kids are great, I'm sure. She is somebody who wants to have sex with children. Just throwing it out there. Do you still really think in your head when you actually put the words wants to have sex with children, even though she's an adult teacher, that you can also say, but she's really good folk? Honestly? Now, what she is a chameleon of the highest level. She's a child predator, and you need to drop that attitude. Defend her as you have to, defend her as you will, but don't make up a pile of BS that everyone can see through. Now, a Tipton County judge, they ordered McCommon to undergo a mental health evaluation because they wanted to check out whether she was sane, whether there were any underlying conditions, of which should make not a jot of difference. Let me tell you, the idea that there could be a mental health evaluation that comes out with him saying, well, she was very depressed, so therefore she abused children. That's not the case. It doesn't happen. She has a personality disorder. Is it an antisocial one? Because that would make sense. Any personality disorder. Again, it's not going to make you abuse children. How about just calling it as it is? She's a pedophile. And she's more than a pedophile. She is a child molesting pedophile because she's acted on her impulses. As I've noted, McCommon was rearrested on the 28th of September. And the reason for that was she was then charged with coercion, harassing and stalking the actual victim that she wasn't meant to contact. The judge revoked a second bond for McCommon because she'd violated the terms of her release when she contacted the victim. Apparently, she used a previously unknown phone number after she initially bonded out of jail. So she was manipulative. She was clever. She was like, I don't want to get caught for this. So I'm going to use a number they don't know. So the second arrest basically came just 3 weeks after she'd initially been arrested at home on those rape charges. It's shocking beyond belief. Now, Mason, the defense lawyer, who's like, she's a really nice person, we really shouldn't be doing this. He said he didn't believe that prosecutors had presented enough evidence at that time to prove that it was McCommon who called and messaged the victim from the unknown number. They said, it's not a registered phone. It's just some random number. They don't have the phone or any proof of registration. So they have these text messages. Someone in the text thread claims that they're Alyssa. And then the prosecutors tried to infer that there'd been some code words used that had previously been used by McCommon in communication with some of the juveniles, allegedly. So basically saying, yeah. I mean, this person in this burner phone is referred to as Alyssa. And yeah. You know, when it comes down to it, there are these code words that seem to have happened before and might symbolise something potentially sexual. But hey, can we really say that it's definitely her? Couldn't it just be some kind of uncanny coincidence? Could it be an uncanny coincidence? Because you know what? She's a really good folk. That's where they're going with this. And Mason, the defence lawyer, also said that the officer who testified that it was McCommon on the phone had heard the suspect's voice once for a few moments, approximately 5 weeks before the court hearing, during which the recording was played aloud. But can we just be obvious here? This is clearly her. Why would she be calling the victim? And why would she be asking the victim certain things? She's being done for these extra charges because she can't leave it alone. Now, the original investigation into McCommon arrived after the police had received information from the Department of Children's Services that McCommon had engaged in sexual contact with a teenage male student. That's according to an affidavit. So the evidence indicated that what she would do was she'd text the victim, she'd use a specific code word known to the juvenile as a code word McCommon would previously utilise to confirm that the juvenile was alone, often before sending nude photographs on Snapchat. We all know that Snapchat, you can send something that disappears. McCommon also was accused of grooming a 12-year-old student who she literally called more than 200 times and sent explicit photos via Snapchat. And to make matters worse, she then threatened the boy with suicide if he broke off the relationship, so totally emotionally manipulating him. Also, it was said that McCommon had sex with the preteens she met in a class and began following them on social media, as well as befriending their mothers to exploit her position of authority. Imagine that. Again, textbooks predator. Become friends with the mothers, open their homes to you, believing you're a really great person to have around their child when all the time you're abusing them. Now, authorities did go on to say that in her crimes, there was no alleged crimes that actually occurred on the school grounds, which means that the school can breathe easy. The Covington Police Department began to look for any other victims at this point because they knew she'd had access to so many kids. And that investigation genuinely did turn up lots and lots of new victims who came forward. And that just demonstrates how horrific these kind of predators are, because they go out, they cast their net wide, and children are silent very often because they feel so isolated or they're so confused by the relationship. And the consequence is these kind of predators get away with it. McCommon had a preliminary hearing on November the 27th, 2023. Now, in this particular appearance, she looked quite despondent when she arrived in court. The judge at this point heard testimony from three witnesses, including the teenager who was at the centre of the case. Now, at the hearing, one of the teenagers testified against his former teacher and accused her of raping him when he was only 12 years of age. Now, he's 15 at this point, and he'd previously told the police that he'd spent the night at her residence in 2021. He'd woken up to be sexually assaulted by her, and he actually took the stand just a few weeks after McCommon told him, while out on bail, that she was pregnant with his child. Literally, she gets out on bond and she basically goes and sees the victim and says, by the way, I'm carrying your baby. If it's not bad enough that she's threatening to take her own life, now she's saying, I'm going to make you a father, even if you don't want to be. Now, bear in mind, that caused the infraction that resulted in her second arrest, and for good reason. But what did she think he was going to do? Celebrate? Get the champagne out? Oh, great, my predator's pregnant with my baby. And also, it gets worse. In a recording of a phone call from the phone number played aloud in court, the person, whom obviously the prosecutors are alleging was McCommon, because, you know, sounded like it was her voice, and oh, was talking about something very familiar to the actual victim, it suggested in this phone call that she was pregnant. And this is what she said. I'm going to raise the baby. I can do this. No, you can't. You're in prison. Just going to throw it out there. You're in prison for a long time. How are you going to do that? But basically, that's what she's saying. She's saying, I'm going to raise this baby. I can do this by myself. And that was played aloud in court on the 3rd of October. Now, she allegedly told her victim that he would regret doing this, which I'm going to assume means telling the truth. Said, no victim ever, you're never going to regret doing that. But again, listen to the words of a predator. You're going to regret doing this. What, I'm going to regret putting you in prison for the rest of your natural life, hopefully? I don't think I'm going to regret that. Now, at the time, her lawyer said he didn't have any evidence to prove one way or another that the pregnancy claim was accurate. Tell you what, though, when you look at some of her pictures in prison, she's got a very strange bump in the area that a pregnancy would be. You know, I've been pregnant a few times. Certainly, you can try covering up if you want to, but at the end of the day, you've got this massive lump protruding from your belly. Now, in a text message from the phone number to the victim, McCormen actually wrote, "I'm just really scared. I don't know if it's you or not. I will never text you again. You'll never hear from me again. Just please don't say anything. Just please don't say anything. I'm under so much stress and I'm so scared all the time. I tried to tell you when it comes out looking like you. We don't have to talk anymore. Just please, God, tell me you're not going to say anything. I'll never speak to you again." And then in another text, she said, "This was a mistake. This is my burden. OMG, delete this number. Please don't get me in trouble." Can you see the emotional blackmail this grown-ass predator is throwing onto the victim? This is a young teenage male. He has got a heap of confusion about his life anyway. He's coming to terms with the fact that he has been raped. He is coming to terms with the fact that adults are not safe. And now he's having to come to terms with the fact that he's going to be a father, even if he doesn't want to be. And she is putting all of the responsibility on him. "You need to not do what you're doing. You need to let me be free. You need to stop telling people the truth. You need to protect my feelings." That is why so many young people don't tell the truth about the horrors that happened to them, because they feel an absolute guilt and conflict about these people that they have shared intimacy with. They don't realize that it's on the adult to accept the accountability and responsibility and guilt. And instead, they so often internalize it, and it can cause massive problems for children because they feel that somehow they're complicit when they are absolutely innocent. Now, Hayward County General Sessions Judge Jennifer Scott, she determined by the end of that hearing, basically after listening to the three witnesses testify against McCormen, that there was probable cause to keep all the charges filed against her, including rape of a child, as well as coercion, harassment, and stalking the victim. And the judge cleared the courtroom for the testimony and also cleared the media who was in there. Now, the other two witnesses, who reportedly included a Covington Police Department officer and a Walmart employee, they were actually people who provided information about a phone that was allegedly sold to McCormen when she was out on bail, which clearly she used to contact the victim. And the prosecutors said that they believe that McCormen may have had as many as, wait for it guys, 21 victims. 21. And they put their age ranges between 12 and 17. Now, some of the alleged victims were her actual students, but she also met one minor at a party and one while playing Fortnite. So she was just casting her net wide. It's as simple as that. Now, at this particular hearing, they hadn't entered a plea, but it seemed like the reason for that was her and her lawyer just spent a large part of the hearing arguing about the age of the victim being 13 and 12. Now, people will say, why? It's equally as reprehensible. And of course it is, but there's a very good reason why. In the state of Tennessee, the punishment is greater for raping a child under the age of 13. So court records show that McCormen was accused of violating Tennessee Code 3913522, which is the rape of a child that is defined under Tennessee law as the unlawful sexual penetration of a victim by the defendant or the defendant by a victim if the victim is more than 3 years of age but less than 13 years of age. So basically, if they can prove that that child was 12, it would mean that she would face a minimum sentence of 25 years in prison. So you can bet your bottom dollar they were trying to say that the young person was 13. The district attorney said, "Certainly, we felt the evidence went beyond what was necessary, which is just to prove that it's more likely than not that we had probable cause that she did, in fact, commit these crimes." That's what the judge found today. They said, "We are pleased with the decision and to move forward to the grand jury." So at this point, the case was bound over to a grand jury, and the judge said McCormen would continue to be held without bond ahead of a trial. And also, they wanted to make sure that before the trial happened, that mental health evaluation had occurred. Now, in March 2024, a grand jury returned a 23-count indictment against McCormen. This was following a 7-month investigation that allegedly identified those 21 potential victims. Now, the charges related to allegations stemming from 5 of those victims whose age ranges from 12 to 17, and they included rape of a child, aggravated statutory rape, that was 5 counts of that, sexual exploitation by electronic means, there was 4 counts there, solicitation of a minor to commit aggravated statutory rape, there's four counts there. Statutory rape by an authority figure, two counts. Coercion of a witness, two counts. Aggravated stalking, two counts. The violation of Child Protection Act, tampering with evidence and harassment. So a list as long as my arm. That meant that McCormick could be facing a life sentence if she was convicted on all counts. And there was real joy when these particular charges were brought through, because at the end of the day, taking this kind of abuse seriously is so powerfully important. CPD Chief Donna Turner came out and said, "I commend the intensive 7-month investigation into these allegations conducted by our CPD staff, the Tipton County Sheriff's Office staff, the District Attorney General Office staff, the Tipton County Board of Education staff, US Homeland Security agents, the Carl Perkins Child Abuse Prevention Center staff, and the forensic interviewers from across the region." So there's been this really intense, concerted effort to make sure that she is going to get charged according to her crimes. They went on to say, "Our goal in any of these investigations is to identify any potential victims and provide medical assistance, counselling and support for their families throughout the investigation. Without this vital intervention, the ripple effect of trauma can last for years with the victims and their family unit." Amen to that. It's really important to remember that abuse is not a single event. It is something that can be ongoing and can indeed, without resolve, affect the rest of that child growing into an adult throughout their lives, relationships, experiences, job prospects, mental health. So it's 100% essential that people are found guilty, sent to prison, and resources are thrown in the direction of the victims who deserve it. Now, at a hearing on the 11th of March 2024, guess what McCormick entered as a plea? Just have a guess. Bearing in mind, one of the things that we all know is a bit of a nightmare these days is our digital footprint. You know, digital footprint, wherever we go, we're being followed. And even if it's not us with our digital footprint, CCTV is everywhere. So you might think that you can get away with things, but on the whole, it's really hard to. And for some bizarre reason, in spite of that knowledge, and McCormick is not stupid, she's obviously a bright woman academically, but clearly not on a logic front, because she literally entered a plea of not guilty to all 23 counts. Even though in the past there had been suggestions that she had essentially accepted some of the suggestions and some of the guilt, no. When it gets to the actual court case, it's no to all of them. And when she walked into that courtroom, she has a baby bump. She's smiling. It's so weird. Because if I'm on the jury, right, I am looking at body language. And if I am looking at a woman who seems to be smiling and is pregnant, and I'm thinking, are you carrying the child you abused child? Is that a baby? A victim of abuse? That ain't gonna bode well when it comes down to me finding you guilty or innocent. Because you know that reasonable doubt? That's gone. Then she's back in court. This time it's June the 17th, 2024. And she looks a bit different, shall we say. She's actually there to talk to the judge about her financial situation. She's saying that her finances don't exist. She's asking the court to declare her indigent. That means poor or needy. So she hasn't got the finances to defend herself. And that would have meant that she could receive court-ordered help. Now, the prosecutors are against that. They say, why should the taxpayer burden paying for your defence? And bear in mind, 9 months earlier, McCormick's bond had been revoked because she'd been accused of contacting one of the victims, and that victim's phone call was played in open court. And of course, during it, she claimed to be pregnant with his child. Also, in the previous court hearing, she looked a little bit portly around the stomach. But at this appearance, her attorney doesn't confirm if she's given birth. But she looks totally different. It looks like she no longer has a baby in her belly. So at this point, it is assumed that McCormick has given birth while she was in jail. The attorney then goes on to discuss McCormick's finances, asked how much money was in her retirement account, but she was unable to give a definitive response. She said, I have no idea. I have a guesstimate after they take away their fees for popping it early, maybe around $10,000, but I honestly don't know. But then she claims, I can't get access to the money. She said, I know I've tried to call one time. It's kind of hard to get hold of anyone because they won't answer the phone call from jail. She was also apparently at this point in the process of separating from her husband, and that meant that she said that she didn't have anyone willing to help her, nor did she have any money in her savings account. But the state, well, they argue that the house is currently for sale, which could provide money because half of it will be hers. And that would mean that taxpayers wouldn't ultimately have to pay for her defence. Now, ultimately, the judge told McCommon's defence team to find out how much it is in her retirement account and also to report back before he would go ahead and make any decisions in her case. So she was set then to be back in court in July. Now, I don't know whether she gave birth in jail, by the way, and it's sketchy, the information out there. What I would say is there's actually no national standard of care for women who are incarcerated and pregnant. Most states in America, they choose to leave the decision of how pregnant inmates will be treated to the individual jails, the correctional facilities they're in, and sometimes this will allow the baby to actually have just one day with their child whilst they're incarcerated. So according to a 2013 study in the American Medical Association Journal of Ethics, there is actually no law requiring states report the number of pregnant inmates or the outcomes of their pregnancies, despite the fact that as much as 10% of the female prison population enters the system pregnant, and some 2,000 babies are born behind bars each year. That's according to the AMA study. Now, it was later reported that the mother of the 12-year-old victim has custody of the baby. And apparently, his paternity was confirmed by a DNA test, according to the CPD. If that's the case, I just want to say, what an incredible family. You've got this child who's been molested, has become a father against his will, and yet that family clearly have a compassion level that is just enormous. To take the rapist's child, and also their son's child, into their home to give that child a biological connection, to bring them up with love, it speaks volumes about the difference between McCommon and the victim and their family. I wish them well. On the 26th of August 2024, a motions hearing was held in court. At this point, a judge granted a motion for McCommon's defence to sever some of the charges in a case. So that meant that when her trial began in January, it was going to only focus on one alleged victim rather than the three listed in the indictment. That meant that McCommon would stand trial on the remaining charges after the first trial ends. So the second trial would then include the multiple victims. And at this point, she had to remain in custody because clearly it's become more and more and more serious. No one's going to release her on bail. We get the 20th of December 2024. And guess what? Guess what? You know, all those not guilty. Not guilty. I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty. Yeah, something changed. McCommon took a plea deal. She pled guilty to the following 12 horrific charges. One count of a rape of a child. Two counts of statutory rape by an authority figure. Three counts of aggravated statutory rape. Three counts of sexual exploitation of a minor by electronic means. Two counts of solicitation of a minor for aggravated statutory rape. One count under the Child Protection Act. So suddenly, that peaches and cream innocence has dissipated. As we all knew, it never existed anyway. And she is agreeing that she is indeed a child molester and rapist of the highest level. Now, during the court proceedings, five victims testified against McCommon, who'd also gone out of her way, like box standard textbook predators do, and had befriended the victim's parents. Gives you direct access, doesn't it? One of the victim's mothers in court said this, I loved you like family. I opened my doors to you. You used our friendship to hurt me and the people I love in this world. You took the innocence from my son before puberty, took what was supposed to be a great experience and tainted it. Your mind is sick and twisted for looking at a child and being turned on. The innocent child will be loved and raised without your influence. So obviously responding to the fact that they've taken in the baby that she's had. And absolutely true, that child will not know of this predator. The mother continued, there's no amount of time they can give you that will equal what God will give you. You will burn in hell. Then District Attorney Mark Davidson stated, the District Attorney General's office commends the incredibly courageous victims who came forward to testify along with their parents. Circuit Judge, Judge Blake Neal, sentenced her to 25 years in prison with no chance of parole. All sentences are to be served concurrently. She was also sentenced to community supervision for life on the Tennessee Sex Offender Registry as a violent sex offender and was ordered to have no contact with the victims, including the child born out of one of her crimes. She'll also have, obviously, her teaching license revoked. After the sentencing, Mark E. Davidson, the District Attorney General for the 25th Judicial District, said, these convictions and sentences demonstrate the continuing commitment of law enforcement and the District Attorney's office to aggressively investigate and prosecute child rape and sexual abuse cases in this district, especially when they involve minor children. We are glad that we were able to achieve finality, certainty, and closure for the victims and their families and the Tipton County community in this case. McCommon's trial would actually have started in January 2025 if she hadn't have pleaded guilty, but she did, and she's serving 25 long years without the possibility of parole. And in March 2025, she will turn 40 years of age. So she will be relatively elderly when and if she gets out. And you know what? She deserves every single thing that's coming for her. And I don't think that child predators are very well liked in prison. It's not that I wish terrible things to happen to these individuals. I just think you do a crime, you have to pay with your time. And sometimes with the attitude of other prisoners who really don't like the kind of stuff you got up to with minor children. Thank God for the goodness in people like the family of the victim who've taken that beautiful baby in. God willing, their lives are amazing. Let me know your thoughts, guys. Is it just me who feels like more and more we're hearing about these female predators? They've always been around us, we know that. But there's something about the brazenness these days of women contacting children as men had done for many years on technology and taking it further. And I have so many questions that I have posed in my brain right now. I know that there'll be people who probably come to this channel and do OnlyFans, and I appreciate that it's a way that people can make some money, but more and more I'm hearing women talking about barely legal boys that they're sleeping with. So they're talking about having sex with 16-year-olds, for example. And yes, it's legal in the UK to do that, but when you're a 30-year-old woman, it's not acceptable. And they're making money from it. They're profiting from that kind of insidious and grotesque behaviour. And it's being celebrated. I used to work on a programme called This Morning and they have Bonnie Blue on there. How dare they give her any space and time? How dare we advertise such deviance? Because believe me, that deviance trickles down. And as it trickles down, it infects and it impacts on our children. The one place, the one space that we should believe is safe is childhood. And more I see a blackness invading it. It's up to us to resist. It's up to us to see how things are changing and shifting and pull back. Because if we don't do it, those of us who are so obsessed with justice for victims, those of us who are invested in caring for children, then who will? Who will? That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.